Well, we trust the Lord will meet with us here and meet us out a little blessing this morning. We've been seeking the Lord through the week. And, you know, we've been down to Mexico and we enjoyed our time there. But we find it's very different than it is here. We're kind of in a little different political situation. It's just different in a lot of ways. But you know, I just feel a little bit safer when I get across the border coming back. Whether that's legitimate or not, I do. It seems like down there there's not the same type of government that we have here. And there's a lot of you have these stops along the way, and there's people with M15s or whatever at their side checking you out. You know, it's not a terrible situation. They do that for safety, but just the whole thing gives you a little bit of insecure feeling. But there's something wonderful about a place where there's a sure government and rule of law and those kind of things. Do you know, this morning, we live in a world that is really topsy-turvy right now. But do you know that God has set up a kingdom in this time? And He said it was going to rule forever. And the God of heaven is its ruler, supreme. And in that kingdom, He rules. And there can be no other that can encroach on His rule. It's not going to happen. If you're in the kingdom of God, we're under God's rule. There's a sense of security. There's a sense of protection. There's a sense of justice. There's a sense of security, as we said. That there is something there that is wonderful. And we thank God for that this morning. And I want to look at what the Scriptures have to say, and perhaps if the Lord wills, I'd like to maybe do a little series on the kingdom of God and different aspects of it. But this morning, if we look over in Daniel 2 and 44, you remember when Daniel was in Babylon, the king Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, he had a dream one night, and he dreamed that there was a great image. And the head, this is Daniel 2 and 31, and Daniel was telling him, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay, till thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces." You know, this Daniel began to explain to the king what this dream meant. And folks, the Lord was letting people know there's coming a time when the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom among men. This is going to be very significant. And so we read in the 44th verse, and it says, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." Now, what kings? Daniel goes on to tell him what God said his dream meant. The head of gold was the kingdom Nebuchadnezzar himself had. And so it passed on down until it got to the Roman kings. And we find that the Lord prophesied that in the days of those kings, and everybody really knows this, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven's going to set up a kingdom. Now, some people are still waiting for Rome to have that place again where God can set up a kingdom. Folks, the Lord set up a kingdom. And He's the divine ruler of it. He's the all-powerful king of the kingdom. A kingdom has a king, one that's in charge, one that's in charge of ruling the place. And so what is this kingdom? And what are the parameters of it? I want to look at a lot of different areas through maybe the next few weeks of what the kingdom of God really came to mean. And so he said here that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Folks, there is a kingdom that God set up, and it shall never be destroyed. And it's just as strong now as it ever was. And the Lord of the place still has just as much power as he ever had. And even though many are gone on to heaven, millions are over there, you know, they're still part of this kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, the kingdom that God rules, and that's where we're going. And so this morning, it says, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Do you know that there is no kingdom that can stand before God? There is no place that he doesn't give the power to the rulers. He sets rulers up and takes them down, doesn't he? And so he's able to do that. So this morning, I want to think about that kingdom and what it means to us. It is very significant to you and I. And I hope that we get a hold of a little bit more faith in God through this. In Acts 1 and 6 to 8, we find the apostles still did not seem to have a proper understanding. And Jesus was fixing to ascend back up into heaven. And it says here, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Do you know, they seem to still, some way they had a misunderstanding of what the kingdom was to be. And still today people have a misunderstanding of what it is. And so he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so, you know, when that day came just a few days later, just a little while later, you know, their whole perspective changed. And that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost that came upon them began to teach them and lead them and enlighten them. And suddenly they began to understand and preach what the kingdom of God truly was. And so we're in a whole different dispensation than it was at one time. Jesus said in Luke 17 and 20, I've got quite a number of scriptures here, so I may not turn to each one. But Luke 17 and 20 and 21, and it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. If you're looking for something to see with your eyes, you're not going to see it. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Yes. Folks, what a promise this is. That kingdom that has the dominion of God himself, that place that God himself rules, where he is going to be the ruler, is within you. Amen. Did you know that where God rules, Satan has to go? Did you know where the kingdom of light is, the kingdom of darkness has to depart? We can have faith in that today. I believe that if we can lift up our hearts to the Lord and believe, folks, we can be in the kingdom of light. We can make heaven our home. And so the kingdom of God, we all know this. It's within us, isn't it? And Pilate, we find him asking, John 18 and 33. And we find him asking Jesus here. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now listen to what Jesus answers. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. You know, the Lord told them so many things, and it seemed like so few really understood. And it's the same way today. Folks, there is a kingdom, and if we'll get in that kingdom, God will rule there. God will rule there. It is impossible for the forces of darkness to rule there if God rules there. The Lord wants that. He loves that. He will overcome and throw out those that would try to oppose him. I'm talking about the Satan and all of his imps and all of his things that he fights against us. In Luke 16 and 16, the Lord said, The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So I want to encourage us this morning, as we look into the kingdom of God a little bit, this first part, we have to press our way into the kingdom of God. All of Satan's authority, all of his opposing powers will try to talk us out of it. He'll try to trick us out of it. He'll try to work against us. He'll try to stop us at all costs. Folks, every man presseth into the kingdom of God. If you want the blessings of the kingdom, press your way in. It's going to come at a fight. It's not going to come always easy, because we may be, you know, there was a time we were all in the kingdom of darkness. Sin had its grip on us and its effect upon our lives and trouble in our lives. That's all from sin. It's from the kingdom of darkness. It's from Satan himself. And the Lord has something so much different. And we want that, don't we? We press our way into it. Listen to this in Matthew 11 and 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Folks, we have to settle it in our minds. I want to go to heaven. God is the ruler of this place. And he said I could go. And we can go. And so this morning, let's take up our cross and let's get in his army, recognizing him that he is the almighty head of this. He is the king of this kingdom. And this kingdom is within you. Do you know what that gives to you? All the power and all the force of the kingdom. We are his sons and his daughters. We are his children. We are his subjects. We are his friends even. And the Lord wants it to be that way. And so if we can take upon ourselves press our way into, by the grace of God, press our way through the things the enemy would throw up against us, I will tell you, there's a lot to be had there. And I hope our faith takes that in for every one of us, because there's not one or two that the devil's opposing this morning. There's a bunch. And in fact, all of us he's opposing. And I want to read what Clark says to that verse, part of what he said. He that will take, get possession of the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and spiritual joy must be in earnest. All hell will oppose him in every step he takes. And if a man be not absolutely determined to give up his sins and evil companions and have his soul saved at all hazards and at every expense, he will surely perish everlastingly. This requires a violent earnestness. You know, this morning that's true. If we're going to go to heaven, Clark says it requires a violent earnestness. We're going to have to be in real earnest for it. We're going to have to recognize that it is there and put in for it, folks. And we can have that. We can be part of that kingdom of peace and righteousness and joy if we will this morning. You know, Romans 14 and 17 and 18, tells us a better picture even. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Folks, it's more than just meat and drink. Back in the Old Testament, the Lord gave them a law. And in that, there's so many things. They couldn't eat some things. Some things they could eat. Some things they could do. Other things they had to do. So many things. Didn't really all have anything to do with the heart. But you know, the Lord changed those things. And He has judgments. He has truth that He wants us to take into our life to live. Now, but it's not meats and drinks. It's not those rituals that there used to be. But it is a heart that comes into the kingdom of God that the Lord changes. He changes our nature. He changes us from a wolf, a lion, a nature we're talking about. We heard about it in Sunday school this morning. And He changes who we are and brings us into His kingdom. And it says, what's it say? The lion's going to lay down with the lamb, I believe, is one of the descriptions of it. Folks, the Lord wants to change who we are this morning. Let's put in for it. Let's take it. Let's take it by force because it's there for us. I know it's God that does it, but we've got to press up to the Lord. It's not meat and drink, but righteousness. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. I wouldn't say that it's always, folks, going to be easy. And I wouldn't say that we're always just going to float down the stream and enjoy all those things. But let's press our way. We have to go to heaven, folks. I know we struggle. Some of us struggle. A number of us. Folks, let's put in for the whole beauty of the kingdom. He's the God of heaven that made the heavens and the earth is the God of the place. He's the King of the place. And His kingdom is in here. It's within you. Jesus said it very plainly. And Paul tells us here that it's a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. And how could you have peace and joy without righteousness? When we allow unrighteousness into our lives, it destroys those good things that God wants to give us. And so, the kingdom of God this morning is just maybe a little simple part of it here. But later we want to talk about some other things that are concerned in the kingdom of God. But this morning I just want us to recognize what beauty God gave when He made this kingdom. Jesus, in Luke 8 and 1, we read here, and it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. You know, the kingdom of God, folks, is glad tidings. It's glad tidings. I hope our faith takes that in. It's not restricting us from being who we're meant to be. It's fulfilling who we were meant to be. It's making a place, if we'll press into it, it's making a place where our purpose for life can come forth, where hearts can be full of satisfaction, full of those things that God plans to have in our life. That's the kingdom of God. And the Lord wants us to press our way into it and not stand back, but say, it is mine. It is mine. By the grace of God, it is mine. I just remember different battles with battling Satan with different people. And folks, I want to tell you, you can have it. It's for those that fight for it this morning. This writer, Timothy Dwight, we sang the song this morning, but I love that song. It says, I love thy kingdom, Lord, the place of thine abode. This is where you live. The place where you dwell. I like that, Lord. The church, our blessed Redeemer, saved with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye, and graven on thy hand. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, to her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Verse 4, beyond my highest joy I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. You know, this morning, let's settle our minds on those good things. Now, we can look at one another as we are. We're humans. We have faults. We make mistakes in judgment. We get ourselves in trouble sometimes. And we can look at that and we can make that paramount in our mind. Or, folks, we can love the sweet communion that we have in the Lord. Above the fact that we're human. I'm not talking about sinful. I'm talking about the fact that we have faults. The fact that we are people. As we said, that we make mistakes. But folks, don't we love the communion that we have? Don't we love the songs that we sing? Don't we love the kingdom of the Lord? Isn't it wonderful that there is a place of peace and righteousness and joy, and it can be within us? That's the kingdom of the Lord. Let's settle our hearts that way. Let's settle our hearts that I'm going to think about those things. I'm going to press my way. I'm going to put forth a real effort in the Lord. And I believe, folks, I believe the Lord will help us. I really believe that many times, a whole lot of the time, we don't recognize what we have. I really believe that. I want to tell you, we have something, folks. We have something. It's wonderful. It comes from God. He's the ruler of the place. I think about a brother that I know, and he worked for a very rich man worth many, many millions of dollars. And this was in Washington, D.C., in fact. And he worked there, and he would spend time with kind of tutoring his son. He'd take his son camping. His father was a very busy man. And they had 20 acres there in Washington, D.C., and he would take him camping there and all that. And they'd eat dinner together. And he said he heard the little boy say, one time, wouldn't it be something, if I remember right, wouldn't it be something to have $1,000? Something along that. He just couldn't, that would really be amazing. But he said there came a day that he saw the very time the young man realized what they had. And all of a sudden he realized his dad was a very rich man. And he realized he was worth millions of dollars. And he realized, wow, he didn't know that. Folks, I really think sometimes we're in that shape. I really think we're thinking, wouldn't it be nice if, and the Lord says, come on up a little closer. I'm the Lord of the place. I'm king here. I'll take care of that for you. I'll take care of it for you. But instead, we fight our own battles, thinking that we're the king, thinking that we need to fight our battles, thinking that we need to set everything in order, thinking that we need to make sure we have all of our ducks in a row so that we're protected and we are secure. Folks, it is in the Lord this morning. It is in the Lord. And if we will believe it and take it, we can have it. And why should we not? As for me and my house, folks, we're going to serve the Lord by the grace of God. I hope you settle that in your mind too. Even if they don't, I want to. I plan to. Ephesians 3 and verse 16 to 19. Listen to this, that he would grant you. Now, who would grant you? That he, the ruler of the place, the king, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that possible? I believe it is. We're in a kingdom, folks, and the ruler of the place tells us that we could be filled with all the fullness of God. So shall we or shall we not? I believe we can be. We're going to have to press for it. Jesus let us know very plainly that it's going to come at a press this morning. You know, when the angel came to came and said, remember when the angel came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were sore afraid. Jesus had been born. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Do you see it that way this morning? Do you see the good tidings of great joy that God came to bring people? Which shall be to a few people. Wait a minute. Something's wrong. Which shall be to all people. That's the kingdom, folks, this morning. That's the kingdom of God. It's going to be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. On earth, peace and goodwill toward men. That's what the Lord came to bring. And that's what the angels, from the very beginning, they began to say. Peace and goodwill toward men. Jesus began to preach the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Folks, these tidings are glad tidings. They're good tidings. And if we'll get ourselves in under the kingdom of that one, we can have these things. John the Baptist came preaching, and you know what he said? He said, repent ye. Repent ye. You've got to turn away from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom that we need to repent of, and turn back to the kingdom of heaven. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we see that. Lord, help us today to find your fullness. Let's turn to Colossians 1 and look at a little more of the promise here. Folks, this is good stuff, I think. I love this kind of thing because I know it works. It works for all who believe. Lord, who hath believed our report? Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What's translated mean? if you look that word up in Strong's, the Greek, to transfer. He's transferred us over. He's translated us to, that is to carry away, depose or exchange. And it goes on. Anyway, that's what the Lord wants to do for us today. And folks, we can have that. We have to believe for it. We have to fight for it. We have to want it. And I want to tell you, the King of the place has declared, it is a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. That's where my kingdom is, he says. And that's what he wants to do. And it's within you, Jesus told us. It's within you. It's within me. And the Lord came to bring that. You know, the scripture we just read goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You know, I have just had a new revelation lately of what the blood of Jesus means. Folks, we have access to the Father, to God that made all things because Jesus shed blood for it. And so when I come to the Lord for healing, for needs, for my own personal needs, I come pleading that blood. Lord, you shed blood that I could come to you. God in heaven that made the heavens and the earth. Your Son, Jesus, a part of you shed blood that I might have access to the Father. And he's the King of the place. And so, folks, when we come before the Lord, seems like lately I've just had a whole new revelation of that. We come to the Lord. Lord, this person needs help. What can we do? We need you to move. Be moved. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. There is blood shed that I might come directly to you, to your presence, that I might have from your hand the things we have need of. That I might have from your hand the righteousness that we need. That we might have from your hand the healing that we need. That we might have from your hand the guidance, the truth, the understandings that we need. We can plead the blood of Jesus today. Isn't that wonderful? We have redemption through his blood. Now we know redemption. Redemption is to buy back. We have that. The ability to be God's comes through the blood of Jesus and what Jesus shed for us. You know, Jesus knew this. Jesus told us, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And what did he tell them? When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Thy kingdom come as it is in heaven, Lord, as everything is subject to you, as the righteousness, the peace of God. You know, when God spake, what did they say? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know, when we hear the voice of the Lord, it can do nothing but cause our hearts to respond with, O God in heaven, holy art thou. Be moved to move into my life. Be moved to give me what I need this morning. Yes, amen. Thy kingdom come as it, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And so this morning I just wanted to bring you a little good news today. Folks, there is a kingdom. And the God of the place, the Lord of the place, the King, he says, it'll be in you. I'll cast out the darkness. I'll cast out every bit of it. And if you'll believe, I'll be there for you. I'll come into your life. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll give you righteousness. And I'll give you peace. And I'll give you joy. Now, folks, I'm persuaded that sometimes we could have more of that than we have. More peace, more joy than we have. I want to read a little reading here in Luke 12 and 22. to 32. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Now, what's he talking about there? Don't take any thought. You got to have a little thought to know what you're going to wear, to know what you're going to eat. He's speaking very plainly here. Don't be worried about it. Don't let it consume your mind. Don't let it consume all your time trying to make sure all that happens even. Serve me and I'll take care of you. And so he says here, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Yes, amen. Now, folks, I want to ask us something. We can be all worried about it if we want to. We can take it upon us. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know. Or we can take it upon the Father and believe. The things that we face in life, there's so many things that he could have said here. But he used one that we're well aware of this morning. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What are my later days going to be like? How is my health going to be? We all have those questions at times, don't we? Sure we do. You know what? We can choose to cling to our worries, or we can choose to cling to the promises. And the result of our peace and our happiness is going to have a lot to do with what we choose to do. And we can choose to do whatever we will. We can choose to believe that God's in control and he's going to help me through this. And he'll help me in the day that I need help. We can choose to believe that. Or we can choose to cling to our worries and to our needs this morning. That's the kingdom of God. This is one of the privileges, folks, of living in the kingdom of God. We don't have to live in that land. It's not all upon us. What is upon us is to do God's will, to live for him. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. Jesus says, look at the lilies and consider them. Just think about them for a minute. How they grow. They toil not. They spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, joy. The good things of the King, the good things he came to bring this morning. And so there's nothing in the Lord's word that tells us not to do the things, not to work, not to prepare our food, not to prepare those. He tells us that we ought to do those things. But what we shouldn't do is have our concentration on those things, our trust in those things, our hope in those things. The Lord wants us to hope in him. And folks, excuse me, when we hope in God, I want to tell you, we hope in the one that can do something for us. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, Paul tells us that in Colossians 3. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, we can let the peace of God rule, or we can let all of our troubles rule. We can let our distresses rule. What's the future going to be? We can let that happen. And then the next verse, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All this morning, the Lord bless us as we go about our work and our days and all those things. I think I'll quit there. You know, the Lord longs for us to have His fullness. We read the verse where He said that we could have the fullness, that He wants to give us the fullness. Let's don't settle to live in a shack when we can have a nice home. And I'm talking spiritual things. Let's don't settle for a shack. Folks, God, the Lord of the place, has said you can just have it. It's all yours. You can have it. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can have righteousness in your life. You're just going to have to press for it. You're going to have to trust in me, and I'll give it to you. Y'all pray for me that I can have those things myself.